What were you doing?
I was about to stop everything. We're in the middle of the podcast.
Still have the second two-thirds of the podcast to go.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, my name is Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Yeah, so this is our first, like, live podcast of 2022.
Yeah, we're back in the real groove. We've taken a break from, I don't know, what do we call it? TL Selects. So we selected episodes. Go back and listen to them. It's worth it, I promise. But now we're back, and I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. We've had a great break, and we're refreshed, and we want to talk about what a lot of people are talking about right now, and that is how we start a new year. And I think I'll tell you, Carly, I'm a sucker for this. Some people are sucker for holidays and Thanksgiving and all that. But like every year, I'm like, I'm not going to be the dum-dum who like falls for the New Year's resolutions. It's just another day, whatever. But like I get sucked up in this stuff. Something
you love
about it.
You love a resolution.
I love a fresh start. I love thinking about possibilities, especially after a time of high indulgence.
Lots of sugar, lots of food.
Yeah, lots of those things throughout the holiday season from Thanksgiving all the way through. I mean, gosh, Halloween, really, all the way through. True. It's a good time to reflect and think about where can I exercise restraint and you know, kind of peel back some certain things, pare back certain things, and then also lean into more healthy things, create new rhythms, think about something that's new and exciting.
Right. I think the new year is just so, like you said, it's easy to get sucked in. I will be honest. I am not good at sticking to any goal ever.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just not my gift. I can do it, but if I like set a goal, I will do it for a little bit and then I tend to get distracted.
So good starter.
Good starter. Not a great finisher.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same.
Which is why this is a great topic for me. But I love the new year because it is just a fresh start. It's an easy time. You don't have to do it at a new year or a new month or even a new week, but it is just an easy, okay, let's take a minute and reassess, is there anything I want to change? And that's what I love about New Year's.
Absolutely. So for our topic this week, we want to talk about how we start and how do we start a new season? How do we set goals? How do we even think about that stuff? Because inevitably, you know, the longer that you're around, you know, when this time of year comes around, you're reminded of your failures, right? Like you talked about all the unmet goals, all the things we ditched by the wayside because we got a week into it and realized it was too hard, or we got distracted, or what, or, you know, life took over. And so John Acuff, who is a really good, incredible author, real favorite around teen life, writes a lot about this stuff, writes a lot about goal setting, and even more so about the things that get in the way of that. And so we want to talk through some of that today about how we really start a goal and think through the ways that not only can we start, but can we actually carry it through.
Right. So his book, Finish, we read a few years ago as a team. And you might be going, I thought you said you were talking about starting. Why are we talking about finishing?
And he has a book called Start, by the way.
Exactly. So you can get both. But what I loved about his book, Finish, is he talked about how can we start so that we will finish.
Right.
And so looking at goals of not just how can we set good goals, but how can we set realistic goals and things that you will actually carry out. And so I want to talk through four things that he mentioned in this book. And the first one is, as we said, Chris, this one is a gut punch for me, but take the pressure off.
Yeah.
And in his book, I think I can't remember if it's a chapter, if he just calls it The Day After Perfect.
Yeah, I remember that chapter.
So this is the idea that you start a goal, you're doing great for 2 weeks, and you have an off day. Whatever that looks like for you. If it's a diet, you blew it. If you were exercising, you forgot. If you were drinking lots of water, you drink Coke instead. Whatever that looks like for you, you have a day that is not great anymore. And it is so easy. This is where I get caught up all the time as I go, well, I'm just done.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be perfect, then I'm done. And that is a horrible way to look at something.
Well, I think it's a misunderstanding of what goals are supposed to do.
Right.
You know, and the goal, if we're really boiling down, is what is it that I actually want? You know, what is the, you know, how, What do I want away? What do I want from certain things? You know, what do I want from my schedule, my relationships, any of those kinds of things? And when we lose sight of that, then it becomes more about the actually getting there. And we feel like if we mess up a little bit, then we're not going to get to that goal.
Right. It's more about the process than the goal at that point.
And process is obviously really, really important. But if the process is so rigid and so unmoving that a bad day is going to throw the whole thing off, then you have to really question the process.
Right. So when you're talking to teenagers, if they're setting a goal or just talking about what they maybe, I'm trying to think, teenagers do set goals, but sometimes it's not as structured as an adult mm-hmm. would. So maybe this is at this time of year asking teenagers, what do you want the semester to look like?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want this year to look like? What are your goals for college? What are your goals for athletics, for band? And asking those, but when you're having those conversations, bring up the fact that they won't be perfect
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. And then ask, how are you going to get back on track?
Yeah.
So let's think ahead. If your goal is straight A's and you get a B or you fail a test, what's your goal to get back on track? How are we going to get back? And what can they do to be kind to themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you be kind to them? Because they are probably honestly going to be harder on themselves even than you will be.
Yeah, because I think that's an unusual follow-up when someone gives you a really great goal. It's like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
No one follows up and asks, well, what happens when you're 5 days in and you mess up? Not necessarily as a discouragement, but like, let's plan for the contingencies. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to get back up when you inevitably don't hit that mark?
Right.
And so that allows for some flexibility, some realism to that whole process.
Exactly. Now, the second thing that John talks about is setting achievable goals.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was so interesting. In his book, he suggests that you set a goal and then you cut it in half.
There you go.
So if your goal, for example, is to run a marathon,
mm-hmm.
maybe your real goal should be to run a half marathon first.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that when you think about this, that really feels like you're cutting selling yourself short. But I don't know, Carly, the last time you that you just accomplished a goal, even mm-hmm. if it was big or small, but it feels really good.
Yeah.
There's something about doing what you say you're going to do and not letting yourself down. I mean, I think that's the most important part about goal setting isn't necessarily that you achieve these amazing things right off the bat, but that you prove to yourself, I can not lie to myself.
Yeah.
And actually do what I say I'm going to do.
I'm a huge to-do list person.
Mm-hmm.
I love to create to-do lists and check them off. And sometimes what that looks like is going back and going, I didn't check anything off today, but what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And going back and going, oh, I accomplished all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're small, but when you start checking off small things, then it's easier for me to be like, now I'm going to tackle the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where if you get in this rhythm of I accomplish my goals, even if they're small, when they start accomplishing small goals, then they'll have the confidence and they'll know I can do those. So now I can do this really big one too.
Mm-hmm.
And so setting those achievable goals, like Chris said, might seem like you're selling yourself short in the beginning, but when you develop a habit of accomplishing goals, then you're going to get so much farther in the long run. And so will your teenagers. And so that's where we would encourage you as you're talking to teens, have them set realistic goals
mm-hmm.
for themselves and then help them plan out and create a process for how they can accomplish that. But when it comes to goals, unfortunately, especially this time of year, a lot of goals aren't fun at all.
No.
I'll be honest, trying to lose weight is not super fun.
No, it's not at all.
So we also want to create goals that are fun
mm-hmm.
and something that you will look forward to. And so when you're talking to teenagers, have them pick a goal that is fun, that doesn't even feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really easy thing to do. But if they need a goal, if the goal is something like losing weight that isn't just obviously fun, there are some things that you can do to make it fun. So one thing that John talks about is setting up fun rewards when you've hit certain markers.
Mm-hmm.
So after you've lost a certain amount of weight, you get a new pair of jeans
mm-hmm.
or you get that new video game that you like. That would be for a teenager, obviously.
Right.
Or my husband, maybe, if you're an adult. So there are things that you can do to make it fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, too, involving the people that you love and have fun with
mm-hmm.
can be a big part of this, too. I feel like so many goals are solitary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lose weight. And this is a solo venture, and I'll see you on the other side. But I think not only for the sense of accountability, which, you know, can be a little tricky sometimes, but just to do something together and accomplish something together can be a whole lot of fun.
Right. So if we're using the weight example, maybe instead of losing weight, maybe the goal is I'm going to go on a walk with a friend 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And that's fun and hopefully will lead to some weight loss. Mm-hmm. There are also competitions. Teenagers love competitions. Mm-hmm. And so there are different things of maybe as a family you set up, we're going to see who can drink the most water this week.
Yeah.
And we're going to make that a competition and the winner gets a prize.
Mm-hmm.
And do things like that that will also lead to healthy habits, but make it fun.
Absolutely.
Now, finally, eliminate distractions. Man, this one's hard too.
This is what it does mean every time.
Exactly. So talk on the front end with your teenagers and ask, like, what do you think will get you distracted? Is it a cell phone? Is it your game console? Is it friends? Is it busyness? Have them think through that answer. And also a helpful tip for this one is have them tell a person who will hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's you as a parent, or if you're an educator and they're setting goals for your class, maybe that's you, but it could be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be another adult in their life who will ask them, hey, how are you doing?
Right. And I think too, being able to forecast distractions, mm-hmm. it takes away some of their bite a little bit. And so knowing that, you know, I know that my phone at this certain time of day is going to do me in, or I know that this time of my day doesn't have as much structure in it and I get distracted more easily during this time. So maybe I shouldn't go on the jog during this time because I know these things are happening. Mm-hmm. So eliminating distraction really is about being honest about your day, about your schedule, about your priorities, about the things that get in your way anyways, and naming those so that they don't become distractions while you're trying to achieve these goals.
Right. But there are so many more tools, I feel like, now too, mm-hmm. to help you with that. There are apps that will help keep you on track, that will shut down certain apps. And so use those as well to help you. But mostly as we kick off into this new year, we hope that you and your teenager will start and finish well. So for our trend this week, Chris, I think you have an announcement that our audience needs to know.
Yeah. We had debated on whether or not to bring this up during the podcast, but
I think the people need to know.
I think they need to know because I'm about to not be on the podcast for about a month. And so they're like Carly finally did the right thing and got rid of Chris. That's what everyone would be saying, but that's not actually what happened.
Everyone needs to know that you're okay and that I haven't.
Yes.
Giving you the axe.
Yes. I mean, you'd be justified, but no, it's not what happened. But yeah, so I am taking a short 4-week sabbatical, not just from the podcast, but from teen life. Choice is completely mine, something that I've been thinking about for a while. I've been talking to lots of people who are in leadership positions, executives, people who this leading during this pandemic has worn them out, mm-hmm. gotten them tired. And I am in that boat as well. When you have, I heard someone recently talk about, you know, the last 18 months feels like being chased by a tiger constantly. And it can feel that way sometimes when you're, and not necessarily when you're dealing with hardships, but more so dealing with uncertainty constantly can exhaust you. And so I kind of got to a point where I started thinking through, all right, you know, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling like things are just a little tougher than they need to be sometimes when it comes to making decisions and making plans, you know, kind of weighing my options on that. And the one that kept coming back to mind was, hey, what if you stepped aside for a little bit and just trusted this whole thing would go on without you and everyone would be okay, knowing that when you came back, you'd be in a much better place. And so doing some study and some research, this is a pretty common practice with people who kind of feel that way. And it's a practice that is kind of ancient in some ways and kind of foreign when it comes to the American mindset. We've mentioned this some on the podcast in the past that, you know, Carly and I are people of faith and we're students of the Bible, and the Bible talks a lot about this idea of Sabbath.
Yes.
And about taking a break. The idea of Sabbath is pretty uniquely un-American, just the way that if you read about in scriptures that, you know, the people of Israel were constantly told by God, you need to stop once a week and not do any work. And what's fascinating about that is the stakes were so much higher. Like to not plow your ground for a day, a week, or to take a month off or a year off in some cases, like that means risking not eating and not having the things that you need. And so our stakes are so much less now where, you know, I'm still going to eat, still going to be okay. But this rhythm of taking a break and knowing that the world's going to go on without you and you can take care of yourself is just something that more and more made sense. And so that's what I've got coming up, starting right after this podcast releases. So we're back after
a came break. Back just
I
to
came
leave.
Back to tell you I'm leaving, but I'll be back.
Exactly. And I think we talk a lot in this podcast about that to help teenagers, you need to be healthy yourself.
Yep.
And Chris, I love that you are acknowledging and taking the time to say, I've got to take care of myself if I'm going to be able to lead teen life, but also continue to help teenagers. And so a way that this can apply to you as our audience, but also to teenagers, I think in our world today, we don't get breaks.
Mm-mm.
With our cell phone, I never turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, never.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even like I have a built-in day where I'm not at school and so I don't see friends. Teenagers constantly are engaged and connected and seeing what's going on and talking to people. And sometimes they also need a break.
Mm-hmm.
But that might look different for everyone. So for your family, that could mean once a week that you have a set aside family time where we're not going to do any cell phones, we're not going to do any work, we're going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
That might mean my family's in basketball season right now. And it is crazy because my husband is a basketball coach. But we try to, at the end of the basketball season, me and my husband get away for a little bit, even if that's just a night that we get some rest to recharge and be together. So maybe after your student finishes their sports season, you say, hey, let's take a weekend trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's just take a weekend where we don't leave the house at all.
Mm-hmm.
We order in food, we watch movies, we play games, and we're just together.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them time to rest. Maybe it looks like once a week we take an hour and tell our teenager they need to turn their cell phone off. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to really zero in on this, the question is for all of us is what does rest look like right now?
Right.
Like we're, or maybe more so, how would rest have the greatest amount of impact mm-hmm. right now? For me, honestly, it's decision making. Like I need a break from decision making.
Right.
Which sounds so weird, but when you're in a leadership position, CEO position, you have to make a lot of decisions. And that's fine. And that's part of what comes with the job. But that's when I realized that I'm not looking forward to making decisions. I don't want to take a break from the podcast. I don't want to take a break from leading groups. Like
right.
those are the things that, you know, and so, but that all kind of comes with it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so for any family to think about what would rest look like and how would that have the greatest amount of impact, I think would really go a long way. And having those really open and honest conversations with your teenagers, like what's making you tired right now?
Mm-hmm.
What is exhausting you? And knowing that doesn't actually have the amount of power that you think it does. We can take a break from that. You know,
mm-hmm.
we can turn off our phones for this period of time. Doesn't mean we're doing it forever. We're doing it for the express purpose of giving some rest because that part of my life is draining me and it's taking away from other things. So it's a really powerful idea. The rise and grind, never take a day off mentality. If you are trying to achieve a certain goal over a short period of time, that makes sense. But for a lifelong philosophy, can really lead to burnout and lead to broken relationships and exhaustion.
Right. And so that's where I would say our teenagers need rest,
mm-hmm.
but you also need rest and you need to make sure that you are modeling for them. I know when I need to take a break or I know when I need to step back and rest, but also be looking out, like I said, for your teen.
Mm-hmm.
Our teenagers, we think they have these built-in holidays. They get summer off. But when I was a teenager, I was still seeing friends. I was working in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So many teenagers still continue to play sports in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get a break.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you are helping them build in break times and rest. But also know the podcast is not going anywhere. We are going to continue to go on without Chris. We will miss him a lot. But starting next week, we are going to have some different guests and some different podcast hosts that are going to come in and talk about things that are in their realm of expertise, and we're going to keep chugging on.
Oh, and it's going to be so great. And that's what I love about this conversation is when we're able to intentionally kind of remove ourselves, it allows for other possibilities,
right,
and other things to happen. Because if I was here for the next month, the things that you're about to do probably wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so this gives you a chance to be creative and do cool things, and our audience benefits, teenagers benefit. And so that's where I believe with stuff like this, everybody wins. And so I want to really encourage you guys as you think about this, to take this idea of sabbatical really seriously as something that could really make an impact on your life.
For the tip this week, I want to go back to goals. And let's talk about how we set goals in our groups, Chris, because this is something that we do a lot, but we also do it different. We don't usually ask our teenagers, our students to set New Year resolutions, but what do we do for goals?
Yeah, so we talk about what we can focus on in the near term and make it attainable. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say small, but incremental, maybe a better way of putting that. And so usually at the end of one of our support groups, we ask a student, based upon what we're talking about that week, to kind of pick one thing and kind of focus on that in the coming week. And then to come back the next week and tell us how it went, even if they failed miserably, which is a definite possibility with any of this stuff. So for instance, if we are talking about stress and how we manage our stress, and we talk about different ways that are healthy that maybe they hadn't tried, maybe it's, I'm going to spend 10 minutes a day writing in a journal, or I'm going to take a walk when I get mad. Let's try that one thing for the next week. Nothing else. That's what you're going to do. And it's incredible to see the impact of that.
It is. And what I love about this is, like you said, it seems small. But when you add small things on, you can build week after week. These become really big success stories over time. So maybe that looks like, I need an extra hour of sleep. Or if your goal is to get closer to a friend that has fallen away from you, I'm going to send one text this week and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal. And so we talked about some bigger goals at the beginning, but we also want to reiterate, it's okay to give your teenager one small thing to work on that week so that they can build on it and continue to have big success in their life.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.